Hi, this is Elizabeth Grayson, Amanda from Highlander and Highlander the Raven TV series. You are listening to Blood of Kings on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Welcome, Highlander fans, to Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. On this show, we cover everything from the Highlander universe. And on this episode, we're going to fix stuff. Welcome to podcast 152 of Blood of Kings. This is Highlander, The Fixening, the first one of a limited series, and we're going to fix the zone. I'm Kevin, one of your Blood of Kings Highlander podcast hosts. Please welcome my co-host, Lee. Welcome to The Fixening, Lee.
Hey, Kevin. Great to be here. I just wish I didn't have to watch The Zone to do it.
That is the drawback. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we're going to when it comes to the other episodes we're going to target, if we're actually going to like the episodes and want to watch them. But yes, you had to watch The Zone to get this. But I got okay. We'll get into why we're calling this The Fixening. But knowing what we were going to do, though, Lee, I got to ask you, when you rewatched it, did you kind of go into it with a different mind frame?
I did, and it's still bad, but I went in and I'm like, okay, here's the part that I would take out, it was also like going in kind of with that film critical eye. I just kept on looking and I'm like, why did you do that? Why?
So, okay. Yeah. Okay. So let's get into the meat of this here. Why are we calling this The Fixening? Okay. And why are we targeting the zone? Well, I got to give a little bit of credit to my friend, Amy. She does some Star Trek podcasting. She does Galaxy Class and All Good Things. And Galaxy Class is all about Star Trek, The Next Generation. And All Good Things is about Trek in general. And just like I am, Amy and I are big fans of Star Trek, The Next Generation. And they started doing this cool show based on Star Trek lowest rated IMDb episodes. And what they would do is they would talk about them and figure out maybe better ways. What could they have done with these episodes to make them better? And they kind of had their own guidelines and stuff like that of the way they did it. And they would actually talk in some of these episodes, a lot of these, her and her co-host actually liked, but for one reason or another on IMDb, which is a respected site for, we get a lot of our information for podcasting for IMDb. A lot of great information comes from that. And, but for some reason or other, these were the lowest rated episodes. And so that gave me an idea. And I told Amy, I said, I want to steal your idea. I got a great idea for, Highlander. And she said, oh yeah, fine. Go for it. It'd be fun. So I came to you with this idea, Lee, that why don't we target the lowest rated episodes? And we'll target five of them for this, for now, a limited Blood of Kings Highlander podcast series. Let's target the five, lowest rated episodes. And then, figure out how can we fix these to where they would become better episodes, and what would we have done if we could go back in time and say, you know what, I know where they were trying to go with these, but what could have made them better? And I have a list of the lowest rated episodes. And what's funny is The Zone is the second to lowest rated episode. The lowest rated episode is actually the season 6 episode of Two of Hearts. And then it's The Zone. And then it's Bless the Child, Deadly Medicine, and See No Evil. And then some other lowest rated episodes we have are Family Tree, Road Not Taken, Free Fall, Bad Day in Building A, and The Fighter, Warmonger, Revenge of the Sword, which we've covered and we like, is on there as well. Blind Faith, Vendetta. These are some of the seasons, like lowest rated ones. But are you surprised by the top five?
A little bit. I like See No Evil. Of season six, Two of Hearts, I think was probably one of the better ones. You know, I mean, if you were going to go like the top five worst Highlander episodes, I would have started at season six and there wouldn't have been room for anything from other seasons.
But you would have thrown The Zone in there, obviously, right?
No, because I had removed that from my memory banks.
So we decided to target The Zone. Even The Zone wasn't technically the lowest rated one. It was the second lowest one. We wanted to target it first because I think in general, when it comes to Highlander TV series fans, The Zone always is at the top of the discussion. Because when Norm and I did an episode of the least favorite TV episodes, The Zone was number one. Clay Boris, who directed the episode, even voted for it. Do you remember that?
I do remember that episode. I remember you guys laughing your butts off talking about that.
And we're going to get to Clay later because he had commented about this thread. But we wanted to set up some ground rules for fixing this stuff. We wanted to stay within our boundaries to a certain degree. So we come up with some ground rules. Starting with, try to realistically change the episode for the better. Keep the budget and shooting location in mind. Don't try to make the production, you know, move to another country and bring back other actors. Consider this like a last second rewrite. So meaning, you know, we have the cast, we have the settings, the location manager has everything set up for us. But all of a sudden, boom, we go back in time. We drop another script on the table saying this is what we're going to do with everyone instead. If we can, incorporate the same actors and guest stars. However, we are allowed to remove an actor. We can fire them right before we start shooting. Okay. Incorporate the same setting and flashback. Okay. You can change the mortality of a character. Okay. That's important here. But the one thing we did want to try to be realistic about is try not to change the main actor's motives, our main cast members, to what they would do in the episode that may be considered out of character throughout the series. Meaning we don't want to go in and say that Joe all of a sudden is now an FBI agent or, you know, Duncan turns evil for no reason, silly stuff like that. We want to stay in the parameters, right? So this is a pretty good set of ground rules, don't you think?
I think it works for me. Definitely gets everything set there. And it allows us to really just kind of take the same recipe and flip the ingredients.
I mean, it's easy to say, oh, you know, you could have thrown in this, you know, brought in this character from another episode. You could have changed the location completely, blah, blah, blah. But we wanted to try to be realistic about this approach. Obviously, we can go back and change anything to try to make anything. But we wanted to try to be realistic and approach it, you know, from that way. Don't you think that's the best way to try to make this more realistic, I guess?
Definitely.
I mean, obviously, we can't travel back in time. But we could have, there could have been a last minute, you know, script rewrite, you know, while everyone, all the actors or the guest stars have been contracted and stuff like that, you know, that we could have done something, you know, and I think this gives us the ability to say this could have happened, right?
Yeah. The writers could have gotten a shot at Narcan and stopped being high on drugs and, you know, been like, oh, we should probably tell a story here.
That's a good one. Well, let's talk about The Zone here. The plot on IMDb is very simple. It says, Charlie alerts Duncan to a mysterious man who may be able to reduce violence in The Zone, a dangerous slum neighborhood. If I remember correctly, it wasn't really Charlie. I think it was Joe.
Yeah, and I don't think he ever said anything like, oh, yeah, this guy could reduce violence in the neighborhood by dead, maybe? Like, I don't think there was... Yeah.
But I did find a review of this episode, and it's our friendly Highlander The Zone review done by Billy Dew. And we've brought this person up before, and I've been kind of curious about who this person is. And well, guess what? I have an answer to this, Lee. Billy Dew is a woman. She's based here in the United States, and she's done a lot of episodic television reviews. She has her own website, Dew Reviews, and that's D-O-U-X. But it's pronounced Dew. And I came across Billy in a Star Trek Deep Space Nine Facebook group. She posted a review of a Deep Space Nine episode. I'm like, wait a minute. I know this person. I've seen her Highlander stuff. And I sent her a message and we started messaging back and forth. And I said, first of all, thank you for your reviews. I want to let you know that we've used your reviews. We've named you and thanked you for these. And I actually asked if she wanted to come on an episode of Blood of Kings one day in the future, but she politely declined, saying, nah, I prefer to communicate through writing. It's my forte. I don't do podcasts and stuff. And so I said, that's fine. We're going to, you know, hopefully if it's okay with you, keep using your reviews on Highlander because we find them informed. She's like, oh yeah, that's fine. That's great. I appreciate that. So she was very kind. We messaged back and forth, but she does have a review on The Zone. And she starts off with a quote between Charlie and Duncan. Charlie says, I spent half an hour diving for your body. Duncan says, I'm touched. a little Duncan and Charlie male bonding. And she goes on to say, I can only surmise that this was an attempt to incorporate Charlie and his past into the narrative. And it's a shame that it's such a wretched episode. Obviously, at this point, Highlander was still searching for its niche, but Duncan MacLeod, Social Crusader, doesn't work any better than Duncan MacLeod, Immortal Detective. For me, the highlight was a scene where Duncan gave Charlie a history lesson of the origin of several martial arts that included a hands-on demonstration. It was martial arts in a fun, interesting context. The rest of the episode had lots of martial arts, but in less fun and interesting context. And I wanted to stop the review there, Lee, because I wanted to get your take on that scene that he is kind of going through a history of martial arts and kind of besting, you know, Charlie in every way, even bringing in some Three Stooges.
I thought that was fun. It was a great introduction. I think there was a missed opportunity to actually have Charlie show some skill.
Yeah.
Because as much as, you know, Adrian Paul is the hero, and he's, you know, badass and he's immortal, he has never gone through BUDS, Basic Underwater Demolition School. That's how they train SEALs. This is where we find out that Charlie has been a SEAL. Making Charlie a more capable sidekick, opponent, friend, this would have been a perfect time to kick that off. We do see him kind of clock, Duncan one time on the chin, and then Duncan gets a little frustrated with it. He's like, dude, you've been slapping him around for the last 5 minutes. You don't get to act like this isn't fair.
It's true, yes.
I didn't think I was going to get any bruises from my homework. Like, shut up. Take it like a man.
Billy goes on with a review in under the flashbacks. 1920 Pennsylvania. The flashbacks are actually the best part of this episode. They were about Duncan and his mortal friend, Jesse, a young mine owner's son with social consequences. Jesse was played by Michael Shanks, credited as Michael G. Shanks, who is about 3 years away from sci-fi fame on Stargate SG-1, where he went on to play Daniel from Stargate there. So, and she has some bits and pieces here. Charlie's friend Asia was a repeat of Richie's friend Angie. Asia's decision to work with the devil she knew was predictable. She goes on to say, Charlie saw Duncan die, which was inconvenient. Fortunately, it was under inconclusive circumstances. The bad guy's name began with a hard C, but he wasn't an immortal, so it doesn't count. Yeah. With the exception of Duncan and Charlie sparring and a nice bit of Michael Shanks, this one had little to recommend it. 1 star by Billy. I would say that is a fair and awesome review of The Zone, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I'm a huge Stargate fan too. So yeah, too. I do enjoy like seeing Shanks do something else.
Yep.
Of course I'm looking at it and thinking that's still just, you know, Dr. Daniel Jackson.
Well, let's get on to the episode itself. Director, of course, is Clay Boris. The writer was Peter Mohan. And I went and was kind of curious because obviously we're changing Peter's work here. Mm-hmm. To make this better. And I was curious to see what else he has written. And when it comes to Highlander, he's written The Zone, obviously, Under Color of Authority. That's the one where with Mako and
yep.
And
Richie's first quickening.
Yep. First quickening. And then The Revolutionary. Those are two pretty decent episodes, I would say.
Yeah. And this one.
But I was looking at the writing credits for, what's his name? Peter Mohan. And he did an episode of Orphan Black. The TV series The Listener did 8 episodes there. Murdoch Mysteries, Lost Girl. I remember that series. Did 2 episodes of that. The Bridge, Sanctuary, Blood Ties, Holiday Wishes, a TV movie. Mutant X, several episodes there. Myth Quest, Relic Hunter, Codename Eternity, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids TV series, Due South, La Femme Nikita, Tropical Heat, Night Heat. He's done a lot of episodic TV. He's been busy doing some other stuff as well. So obviously he has a resume, but for this episode kind of fell flat.
Yeah. Well, and like the rest of the resume seems to match with this Highlander thing. I want to go back to The Bridge, which is one of the best TV shows of the last 20 years. It's very dark and disturbing, and I would not recommend
watching. That's a murder mystery one, right?
Yeah, it takes place on the bridge between Tijuana and California.
Yeah.
And or Tijuana and Texas, I'm not quite sure where, but it is dark, it's disturbing, it takes left turns that you never see coming. And then you take The Bridge, and then you compare that to Tropical Heat, which is basically Bikini Spies. which I did watch that show quite a bit. That was basically kind of like, it was just this side of USA Up All Night, if you remember those.
It seems like it's exactly as it's described.
Yep. It's wonderful. It's horrible. All that great stuff. So, yeah.
I want to get into the cast here. Of course, you have Adrian Paul. Stan is credited, but he's not in this episode as Richie. We get Philip, of course, as Charlie. We get Joe Dawson back. The villain, Kanan. We get the character, Asia. We get, who else do we get here? Michael Shanks, of course, from the flashback. These are the main people in the cast. Stunts was Bob Anderson. He was the Swordmaster. I think he took the week off for this one, I'm just going to say.
Yeah, there wasn't really a lot of sorting in this one. There was like, I'm going to hit you with a pipe or maybe a stick. And yeah. Or I'm going to wear a Color Me Bad suit and play with a butterfly knife.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm going to sex you up.
That should have been the theme song over it, because it would have made just as much sense as the rest of this episode. Why are they in the zone wearing Color Me Bad suits?
You have this superpower of looking at someone's older picture and placing them in some like either 80s, 90s, or early 2000 band. And you've done that for me several times.
Kinda, yeah. Or Twilight.
Yes, or Twilight. Okay, so I want to mention this, these are under quotes for the episode, and this was a scene between Charlie and Duncan at the very end. It's very important, I think, for what we're going to be doing for this episode. It's between Charlie and Duncan, and Charlie says, "When I was in the SEALs, I saw guys with eyes like yours, the lifers, the ones who'd gone into too many battles and never came back all the way." Duncan replies, says, "Well, I guess that describes me pretty good." Charlie says, "I don't begin to describe you. We both know it. Duncan, you're playing a psychologist and detective all in one night, Charlie. You're pushing your luck. Charlie, maybe, but one day I'm going to find out what you're all about. Duncan, you might be disappointed. Charlie, I don't think so. You walk pretty close to the edge, McLeod. What are you hiding? Duncan, I don't want to know. You don't want to know, Charlie. Some of the people that found out aren't around anymore." That's pretty intense.
Especially given how Charlie goes out a couple seasons later.
Exactly.
Nice circularity to that. And actually, I'm glad you brought that scene up, because that was one of the things I was going to bring up too. Like that, even though this is not in any way a good episode, that is kind of the button that we come back to for Charlie.
And a great conversation between these two, both character building and both kind of like, you know, you understand what Charlie is trying to figure out now, and that Duncan's just not letting him in his world at all.
Little the weird bit part about that conversation.
What's that?
The weird part about that conversation, though, that just bugs me, is he's drinking tea. Now, they have a coffee machine in the office, but he had to have gone upstairs, made that tea, came back downstairs to sit on those stairs to sip tea and have that conversation with Charlie.
That just ruined the whole episode for me,
dude. I know. Yeah. It was good until that.
So, a little bit of trivia. This is the television debut of Michael Shanks. He would appear just 5 days later in The Commish, Rising Sun in 93. And then, of course, he would go on to star as Daniel in the TV adaptation of Stargate and SG-1. So, let's have some final comments about the unfixed original version of The Zone, Lee. In your opinion, because you weren't part of that discussion that I did with in that podcast with Norm, is The Zone the worst episode for you? Where does it stand in like the lowest rated episodes for you?
I would put this, I say number two is right, but number one has to be Bad Medicine.
Yeah.
There's nothing redeemable, fun, interesting, or good in any way about that episode. There are moments in here that could be turned into something better, but Deadly medicine. Yeah. We're not talking about Bon Jovi here.
It's going to be interesting to see how you would change it, because that's on the list, buddy.
I know.
For me, I want to say Bless the Child, because I just found it so annoying.
That's because you don't appreciate salmon and raspberries. Was that what they were eating? Or
I don't know.
Or trout.
But, yeah. but I have ideas on how to fix that episode. And I'm actually looking forward to doing that. Fixing for that episode. So,
all right.
Yeah. So, but before we get into how we're going to fix this episode and what other people have said, how they would fix this episode, we're going to take a quick break from the immortal world of Highlander and let you know what other great shows are here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to these other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, discussing the latest in entertainment pop culture. Blood Kings, Immortals Take Notice, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theaters, where we celebrate our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie and TV pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville show. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our show covering the time-traveling Doctor Who universe with host Dan Hadley. Lethal Mullet, an 80s and 90s action film podcast with host Adam P. O'Brien. Also check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast with hosts Scott, Derek, and Nathan. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, a deep dive into the final frontier with hosts Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. And check out our newest shows, The Fandom Show, our monthly Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube exclusive show about the month's hottest topics in fandom, and the FPN True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the related Marvel television and streaming MCU universe, including the connections to the original Marvel comics. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on several platforms. Please subscribe to the Fandom Podcast Network YouTube channel to receive notifications of new podcast episodes and live events. You can enjoy all of the Fandom Podcast Network audio podcasts on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and iTunes. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom. All right, welcome back to Blood of Kings Highlander Podcast. This is Highlander the Fixing. We are fixing The Zone. We're making it a better episode. Lee, I just gotta ask you real quick. When I brought this idea to you, what was your first impression of fixing an episode that sucks?
I love it. I made a whole lot of money in college editing people's papers. I would never change anything. I would never write it for them, but I would take what they wrote and cut, paste, and do, you know, like fix the grammar. And I'd get them, you know, from D's to B's and A's.
Did you have a thesaurus right by you?
You know, I just got this up here, so.
Okay. You can tell when someone's using a thesaurus.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially you'd never want to give somebody a $10 word if they only got $2 in their pocket. Like,
that's a good point.
Yeah. Like, the prof is going to recognize it. But if it's the words that they would have done, and like they could say, well, I had a friend edit, but like this is, you know, I would never plagiarize or do anything like that, but I would make their argument sound better.
Did you come across some plagiarism when you were doing that?
Oh God. Yeah. I actually, they had to change some rules for me because I was asked to write on the same topic 3 times in different classes. Well, I already wrote that topic. And so somebody's like, I've read something like this before. And I'm like, yeah, I wrote it. They're like, well, you can't do that again. I'm like, you assigned me the same thing. I haven't come to a new conclusion. I haven't plagiarized anybody. I have given myself the permission to use this document.
There you go.
So they had to change a couple rules because in certain fields of study, you only get so many questions.
Okay. So I put a post on Bloody Kings telling people what we were going to do. And who did we have reply? Clay Boris, the director of The Zone. And give Clay credit here. Yeah, I love Clay. 6 Day Clay is his nickname. He's done some great episodes of Highlander, first of all. But he knows that this is not a good episode. And he goes, quote, first off, the scripts for The Zone and Bless the Child, which he also directed, were fucking crap, and I had 6 days to shoot them in. Second, I actually improved the material I was given, but I do agree they are not very good. No fucking heads off, no quickening. I can only imagine you being a director for Highlander, understanding what's going on, immortals taking heads, sword fights, and you don't get to do that, and he gets screwed out of 2 episodes of that.
Yeah. But at least, you know, he gets to go to a dock.
Yeah. What's and funny, a mine. I've actually been to the filming location for Bless the Child. at least he got to go up there. Our buddy David Walsh said, at least he was replying to Clay on this, saying, at least The Zone had Michael Shanks. But apparently Clay doesn't know who Michael Shanks is. He says, who's Michael Shanks? Says he went on to play Daniel on SG-1, the episode in his first role. Says, what part did he play? And Jill says, he was Mac's friend, the son of the tycoon who died in the fight with the Union Breakers. And then Clay said, hi, Jill. Guess I need to watch the episode. I barely remember it. And Jill said kindly, everything good about the episode is because of you. Everything else is because there's only so much you could do with that script. And let's see here. And then David said to Clay, Jesse Collins. And then Clay said, wow, Jesse Collins was the star in Cats with a K and Dog, which I directed 29 episodes of. We were friends, so I probably changed the original name of the script to his. Okay, then Roy jumped in, said, for The Zone, and antagonist portion needed a better reason why McCloud got involved. How Joe didn't realize it wasn't an immortal causing trouble is beyond me. They're supposed to be watching things. And Andy Sloan replied to Roy, saying the Watchers have people go in and investigate whether or not someone is immortal. Kanan came into the radar as a potential immortal, and Mark Wells went in to get more information but was killed while doing his job. Roy replied, saying, that's what it was. Thanks for that. Haven't seen that episode in a while. And then Andy replied saying, yeah, so Duncan was asked by Joe to check out Kanan to confirm if he was immortal or not. By the way, Lee, I don't blame anyone for not having to go back and rewatch this episode, not remember all the details, including poor Clay.
Yeah. I honestly put it off until last night because I just didn't want to watch this episode.
you and me both, bro.
No, straight up, when you asked me to kind of come on and be the co-host when Norm left, I watched every episode but that one. I watched Deadly Medicine.
I felt like I had to, like, threaten you to watch this episode.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Roy Murray came back and said, thinking about it, I'm still convinced that Duncan needed a better reason to go to The Zone. Maybe if he was helping someone else besides Joe, or if Charlie was the one needing the help, or if that guy who got shot stumbling into the gym in the middle of the sparring session and he was one of Charlie's friends or Joe's friend. Give me a better reason than I need this favor from you, Inspector McCloud. We got one other great observation response from Clinton Rawls on Blood of Kings. He says, I actually found the idea that Watchers have to do a recon on possible immortals to be an interesting notion. All it would take is a rumor on the streets picking up steam for the Watchers to take a little interest, and thought of them investigating little urban legends or a barroom boast make for interesting story fodder. That is a fascinating observation, Lee. I wish we would have seen more of that, actually.
Yeah, and I think this is the kind of thing that they should be incorporating into the new series, because we sort of get the Watchers as an afterthought.
Yes.
And like in just in ways that they would fit into the show. You know, I mean, the what's the episode with They Also Serve?
Yeah.
Was a really fun look into, you know, kind of the Watcher Society, because we don't get much like that. We basically just get them being all serious and angry.
I love the fact of urban legends.
Yeah.
And finding that out. You know what I would have done if I was in the Watcher saying, I say, can I find out if this DB Cooper dude is actually immortal or not? Now we know he's Loki, but I mean, still. Clinton Rawls goes on and says, as far as making the episode better, I think it does a lot right. It develops the new relationship between Joe and Mac and Charlie and Mac, and reveals a lot about Charlie as well. To improve upon this, I wouldn't have jettisoned the Watchers so quickly. Maybe after Horton, Joe isn't sure who he can trust in the Watchers, so he wants to keep the investigation close to his chest and bring in an outsider. Perhaps rumors about Kanan and other surviving violent attacks attracted some hunters. And now we have rogue Watchers without a leader murdering mortals as a precaution in case they might be immortal. Joe needs to clean things up, and the only way he can do that is to break the rules and bring in an outsider like Mac. I thought that was a great observation for Clinton to say.
Yeah, and that's, it feels like they should have made that turn at several different points in the series.
Right.
You know, obviously in finale, they very visually bring Duncan into the Watchers headquarters, all that, you know, obviously, what is it, 2 minutes to midnight? Same kind of thing. Like, I think that's a really good take on this.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay. So let's get into how we would fix the zone. Welcome to the fixing. Reminder of the rules. Try to realistically change the episode for better, keeping the budget and the shooting locations in mind. Don't try to make the production move to another country and bring in other actors. Last second rewrite. Think of it like that. Incorporate the same actors and guest stars, but you can remove one if you want. Incorporate the same setting and flashbacks. You can change the mortality of a character. Make someone who's immortal mortal or mortal immortal. But try not to change the main actor's motives. Don't change the people that we already know that's would be considered out of character from what we've seen throughout the series. So, Lee, I'm going to start with you on this. How would you fix the zone in The Fixing?
I would get rid of Kanan entirely, because we don't really know. We know that he gives a gun to a kid. And we know that he hits people, but we don't know like where he's getting all the money for his Color Me Bad suits. And why he's not sharing that around with people to get their own Color Me Bad suits. Like, they're, you know, obviously living in abject poverty.
Okay. So if you're taking him out, you're going to have to explain then what's the threat here. Cause Kanan's the main threat.
Here's where I'm going with this. Michael Shanks, that was his first death. And
oh, in the flashback.
Yeah. And he,
okay, I like where you're going with this, because I'm having a similar thing here. So go ahead.
So he's now the Kanan character, obviously Jesse at this point.
So you're saying his first death was in the 20s in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Okay.
Which explains why Duncan is looking after him.
Okay.
Explains more of his, because I'm pretty sure Duncan wasn't just hanging out at Princeton looking for miners. That is coal miners, not underage people. You never know. But it would explain that relationship. It would explain why Duncan is trying to keep him out of it, even though he knows that this is going to go on. But it also would bring back, kind of as a way to convince Jesse to stop what he's doing.
The young kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, Michael Shanks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Michael, I forgot his name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Convincing him to stop if he saw a group of people.
So you're saying Michael Shanks becomes the villain in this instead?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he basically is Kanan at this point.
Okay. Okay.
You know, basically same setup, all that sort of stuff. It would explain why he's wearing a Zoot suit or Color Me Bad suit. Like, it's just, it was cool when he was a kid. In that, you know, if there is this uprising against him, he could see this same thing that caused him to die, caused him to lose his family, all that sort of stuff. He could see himself as a bad guy.
So what is Michael Shanks' character's motivation in the zone then? How's it different or if the same with Kanan's character?
Basically, I see him as moving more towards kind of a Robin Hood or kind of a overly enthusiastic union organizer.
Kind of so like not the guy, a villain?
He is, but in a way that he is able to justify to himself.
So he is he's a little bit power hungry then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, he's still robbing people, but he's able to explain it, you know, it's like, and that would explain why he's got a clinic set up.
Okay.
Because not a lot of, you know, people that give revolvers to 13-year-olds are setting up medical.
So he's allowing the character. So Asia still exists. The one who's working in the clinic. He's maybe, what's his relationship with her then?
I think he's just kind of a benevolent leader. You know,
he's allowing her to keep the clinic.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's so entrenched in the kind of the rights of this one group of people that he's involved in. But also in the same way that the union in the flashback was willing to kind of not listen to reason and put everyone in harm's way. Mm. You know, good motivations, bad results.
Okay.
You know, would be a way to for Duncan to recognize what's going on, but also recognize a way to save his friend.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But you were going to ask him?
Yeah. So I know you want to say something about Charlie, but I want to ask you, how is the relationship between Duncan and now Michael Shanks' character, who is this kind of bad Robin Hood type character that's overlooking the zone? How is that concluded?
Honestly, I would see it very similar to an episode later on, Warmonger, where suddenly there's like this realization of who he's become and finding some measure of peace for the character.
Mm-hmm.
But
is there a fight between him and Duncan, and does one of them die?
I think there's a fight, but I don't think they die. I think, you know, very, or even similar to like, he had with Gregor.
Okay.
You know.
You think that Michael Shanks' character learns from this confrontation from Duncan?
Yeah. And, you know, and recognizing his own past
Jesse
trauma.
Collins. I keep forgetting his name. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. He's recognizing and learning from his own past trauma instead of building his entire identity around it. Okay. And I think that would, because the way that it's set up right now, that flashback doesn't make any sense, because Duncan spends that entire flashback trying to convince everyone not to strike.
Right.
Not to go up against the Pinkertons. And then he spends the present saying, hey, why don't we go fight these drug dealers? And there's no reason why he switches.
Right.
There's no reason for that at all. It just, it's there. And I think that disconnect is one of the things that makes this so bad. Like, we have no reason for so many of the actions that are happening. And you were asking about Charlie. I would actually make Charlie the impetus of this. You know, if, you know, Joe can still kind of be looking for his watcher. But, you know, Charlie kind of coming in saying, hey, the zone is where I grew up, you know, all that sort of stuff. And if he's taking the lead, you know, like maybe Duncan doesn't want to do it, but Charlie goes, and then Duncan goes along as backup. Because, I mean, this is where he grew up. These are his people. If he's not the person rescuing them, you know, I mean, we kind of get into that problem of the white savior, you know, the Batmac, as the guys in Philly call him. he's really, Charlie's there, but he's not serving a purpose other than introducing Asia and Teo.
Right.
But if he's actually a force for the change, if he's the one that actually gets him out of the cooler, you know, there's a lot of things that he could have done You know, they could have actually shown Charlie diving. Maybe they didn't have an underwater camera, but they could have shown him, you know, kind of going up and down, but they didn't even show anybody go in the water.
To get Duncan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, if you're going to put somebody in the water, I mean, you got to be Duncan, right? Duncan.
Or someone who's a SEAL.
True enough.
I see what you did there.
But we get no sense of him as a SEAL or even as a particularly good fighter. Right. And Philip Aiken actually is a master instructor in Aikido and I believe Kobudo. So, I mean, yeah. He could have been a better fighter and given Adrian at least a more even fight. Because, you know, you and I've talked actually a couple times, like, why aren't there more mortals that can fight immortals well?
Yes, exactly.
If anyone's going to put up a good fight, a SEAL, because nobody can deal with pain the way they can.
And I think you're on the same plane as Norm and I when we would talk about Charlie, that we felt that his character arc got screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, really just sending him off with Mara and then coming back to get killed was not good.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. That's cool. That's a good rewrite. I would enjoy that one. That's good. I like that. Okay. So I got mine. All right. You ready? Now I need you to interrupt me like I did you.
Okay. And
clarify things as I'm setting things up so you and the listener can understand where I'm getting at here. I'm still kind of making up part of it, but I got the gist. Okay. So hear me out here. Okay. All right. The episode starts with the flashback. Okay. And like you said, and you and I are on the same plane here, Michael Shanks' character, Jesse, is an immortal, but gets his first death at this scene with the Pinkertons shooting everybody, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Duncan knew that he was a pre-immortal and was kind of keeping an eye on him. And when this happens, he is his instructor. He is his Connor McLeod or Ramirez, and he's the one that brings him up. And I think you alluded, this is what would have happened to Jesse's character in your
rewrite. Exactly, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a relationship there, but the flashback starts with the episode, okay? The episode then goes to the zone. We still have the whole Watcher thing going on because that's fascinating. I love the fact that a Watcher is checking up. In my rescript rewrite, Kanan is still there. But Kanan is also an immortal, okay? All right? But to me, he's an immortal that's kind of like a suit immortal. He can fight, mm-hmm. but he's kind of like a guy who's more about acquiring wealth. He's about acquiring land and status. And what he wants to do is not necessarily control these poor people and their lives. He's buying the land and trying to force these people out. Okay. But he's doing it in nefarious ways. Okay.
Maybe okay.
Some people are getting killed as they're being pushed back. And therefore the Watcher, okay, is investigating Kanan, but gets caught up and gets killed. Kanan doesn't know that he's a Watcher. Well, he doesn't know anything about Watchers. That's still the same, okay? But the Watcher is still killed, thus giving the reason for Joe to talk to Duncan still, saying, hey, you know, this guy was killed trying to find out if he's immortal. So he still needs Duncan to figure out if he's immortal or not so he can get that immortal buzz. Still
so the same. Is the Watcher like actually part of the organization kind of doing the dirty buy up or
no, he's just like he is in the regular zone episodes, just okay. doing his regular job, trying to find out if Kanan is an immortal. Okay.
Okay.
All right. If he was like, cause I'm thinking there could be an extra piece of dialogue that is he that, cause I always find that this hasn't really been pushed a lot on Highlander where immortals change their identity to try to live longer and not be known as someone else. And the Watchers have to kind of keep an eye on these changes. What if immortals were able to elude Watchers, not knowing of course about them, of course, but being able to like, oh, what happened to that immortal? Where'd he go? He's not dead, but because
kind of like Cross of St. Antoine.
Yeah, immortals have to be smart and change their identity no matter who knows. You know, they have to go underneath the radar and completely reinvent themselves. Kanan is just has done that to a certain degree, and now he's this other, and they're trying to figure out, like, is he this other immortal they've been chasing, right? Present day, we find out that the flashback could have also incorporated maybe the origins of Kanan to a certain degree, but not necessarily told in the flashback. Maybe something happens or whatever later on where there was a fight between Kanan's other, let's say, immortal ID, you know, mm-hmm. someone else that he was, and Michael Shank's character, Jesse. So we have history between them. Okay.
Okay.
And this comes to fruition later on. We find out that Shanks is someone who isn't about the game. He wants to live his life. He and Duncan have stayed friends for a while, but he's kind of gone on. He's done some charity work, you know, staying underneath the radar. He's helping people.
Some Egyptology for the U.S. government.
What's that?
Some Egyptology for the U.S. government.
No. He's staying underneath the radar. You know, he's trying to, he takes jobs to stay underneath the radar, but still help people. Maybe he's helped the homeless before. And he has a friend that's involved in this area because these people that live in the zone are getting pushed out by Kanan. Okay. And he comes into the picture. So basically when it comes to this, Duncan is not in this fight, but Duncan does get killed by Kanan's thugs. Because Kanan realizes that, wait a minute, Duncan's immortal. And, you know, they both realize they're both immortal here. But he doesn't want to give away to other people of who he is. So he has his thugs kill him, knowing, like, well, I got to deal with Duncan later. And Kanan is going to figure out how to way to kill Duncan. Because Duncan, he knows that if he just has Duncan killed or drowned or mm-hmm. whatever, that Duncan's going to come back. But to put on a front to the people that see all this and his thugs and minions who don't know that he's immortal, he's like, I'm going to have to deal with this later, but we're going to kill him as like he's immortal. But then Jesse comes into the play again and realizing that he has this history with Kanan. They've challenged each other before, but it never came to a final conclusion. Jesse doesn't like the direction that Kanan is taking by pushing these people out and doing it in nefarious ways. People have, you know, died or whatever, you know, shown up maybe up on the rocks somewhere that used to live in there. So there's that. We still have the character of Asia. Asia can confirm the nefarious things that Kanan's been doing. She's still her character. Okay. And it comes down to the final duel is that Jesse asked Duncan to step aside and let him handle this. Okay. And the final duel is the immortals of Jesse and Kanan squaring off, with, of course, Jesse being victorious, getting his quickening and then moving on. And the impending sale of this, he decides to then take it upon himself to turn the zone into affordable low house renting, maybe something like that. Mm-hmm. He kind of, you know, his character has shown that this is what he would do. And he tries to get involved with a nonprofit organization and turn the zone into a more livable situation for these people that are looking for homes, maybe temporary housing or something like that. So that covers that. As for Charlie, this is where, and this is a huge rewrite for his character. I always felt that Charlie should have been brought into Duncan's immortal world, like Anne was, okay? And I felt that this should have been the episode where he's the one that rescues Duncan, but he realizes he's dead, and then he's there when he wakes up. And that's when Duncan realizes that I got to tell Charlie what's really going on here. So that conversation at the end of the episode is completely different. It's a great episode and one of the best parts of The Zone, but it has to be rewritten for this. And I think that Charlie knowing that Duncan is immortal, but Duncan doesn't want to let him in, I still think is an important part of that can still continue throughout the relationship. Charlie does not know about what Joe does not know about the Watchers. That's still kept a secret. But I think that Charlie understanding when Duncan gets shot, he knows, you know, but Charlie's still getting injured and stuff like that. He understands why he's alive. And I think that would have been a lot more interesting story arc if those two characters knew each other's secrets. But still Duncan keeping an arm's length to Charlie, not wanting him to get too involved in the immortal world. Maybe he finds out about Richie as well. Maybe I think that would have been interesting. Maybe he and Richie could have then gone on and have a little interesting angle to their friendship, them knowing each other's secrets. So that's my rewrite of the zone. Have any questions, any holes I need to fill?
So I like where you're going with that. And I kind of had a similar thought, like this is where Charlie finds out.
You're talking about the Charlie arc.
Yeah. Gotcha. The Charlie arc. I like that idea of him finding out that there's something different about Duncan. Mm-hmm. And I kind of gave me an edit on mine. Like if Charlie beats whoever the bad guy is of, you know, either your story or mine, and actually Mortal kills him and then sees the guy wake up and then goes back to think about, okay, I saw, you know, Duncan went in the harbor and now he's fine. If this is like where the seed starts and we actually get a B plot going through some of the episodes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like him trying to figure it out. And,
I think it's important that Duncan's still keeping his arm's length. He's not letting him completely into the immortal world.
But like if Charlie's trying to figure out the truth, but like Duncan doesn't let him in, I like that, keeping him at arm's length. Cause you know, we had that with, Richie, and I think it would have been, you know, we understand after, you know, everything that happened in the darkness that there's a reason why Duncan let Richie know the secret.
Right.
And if he's keeping Charlie from the secret, it could very well, you know, the audience might think, oh, it's because Charlie's the next immortal, and then he's not. And it might be, you could lead that in there. But I like that. I like that we've...
Do you have any issues with my rewrite? Anything that, like, do I need to fill a plot hole or remove someone, or what do you think?
My only thing is I think in both of ours, we both need Charlie to do more. You know, and if
it's, and obviously Michael Shanks' character, Jesse.
Yeah. But like if, you know, this was a good setup because like there's no stakes at all. This would have been a good setup for Charlie to do something. But I like how you've got, Shanks and Kanan going at each other. That's a
history would be set up there, I think, is important, you know. But here's the thing I want to mention to our listeners and bring up again with you, Lee, was that when it came to watching those behind the scenes of all those DVDs, there was a struggle of we can have the Immortal of the Week baddie,
mm-hmm.
but it might get tiresome. So they did these episodes where there was no immortal, there was no fighting, there was no quickening, fighting meaning swords.
You know? Mm-hmm.
We would have another baddie. And in most cases that failed, let's be honest. Okay.
Yeah.
In most cases, I bring this up because I think that you could still have immortals, but not have the fight because it's about their world. It's about Duncan's involvement in the world. And the next episode is, in my opinion, a great example of that, where it succeeded, where they had immortals, but no immortal fighting and no quickening. And that's the return of Amanda. And that they used, and that's where they come across the
money plate or the printing plates for $20 bill or something.
Yes. Yes. And this is where we have Don Davis, of course, as we know from, Stargate, he plays the corrupt, it was an FBI agent or something other, and he shoots and kills both Amanda and Duncan, not knowing, of course, they're immortal. And then they come back and were able to, you know, come back alive. Oh, you had an idea. What do you got?
I just realized that in your version, Charlie's watching the video on the news of those two people getting shot. He recognizes Duncan and realizes he was dead. And that's that sets off that thing. It doesn't even happen in this episode. It's perfectly set up for the next episode.
So you're saying that Charlie discovers his immortality in that episode.
Yeah. Like he's like, how did you survive that? You know, and he's like, I'm hard to kill. And that's like the only thing. And then he sees his buddy get shot, go over the side, and then not die.
I like that, but that's the rewrite for that episode. That episode was good. So,
I know, but it's just like, my brain doesn't stop working.
But my point is that there could have been a lot more options for writing episodes to where we didn't have a quickening in a sword fight, but immortality is where you got to kind of stick to that. You got to stick to the immortal world. Yes, it's nice to see Duncan deal with everyday hoods, everyday problems that us as mortals would have in a reality, but Highlander's Highlander. And I think if you take away, it's okay to take some of the ingredients away, but taking away immortality and Duncan's world of immortal is taking away the sugar in the cake, so to speak. You know, I mean, in this, you only get him dying and then coming back to life.
Really. Yeah. You know? And way too many costume changes. And I don't know why they kept going back to the dojo. It's like, I'm sure everyone will be fine till tomorrow in this hellish landscape. I'm going to go and change into a different vest or a different tunic.
I got a quick question for you. You wanted to take Kanan out. You took Kanan out of your thing forever. Is it because you don't like his character? You don't like his Color Me Bad outfit, or you just felt it was useless?
It was useless. You only know that he's bad because he's bad. Like, we don't really get a sense of his motivations. We don't get a sense of him as a character. He is just this archetype around whom everybody else acts. Okay. You know, there were several other ways to tell this story that would have been interesting. You know, if we try to redeem Teo, you know, if we try to redeem Asia, rescue her, save
the planet. I thought Asia was perfect. She was a great side character. Didn't need to change. And her character could stay the same.
Yeah, her character could stay the same, but like she kind of crosses that line, of betraying Duncan. And we sort of get a reason for it.
Right.
And then we sort of get a reason. But like if we take that same complex character and make her a little bit better, I think maybe she saves him because of Charlie or, something a little bit more, again, with those characters. We don't really have a reason to like the zone, like the location, the populace, we just see everybody stand there as this guy runs everywhere except for the very broad open path right in front of him at the beginning. Like literally there is a huge wide open street. He decides not to run down that. I'm going to run here around this corner, or I'm going to run into this camper.
Speaking of the location, when I was looking at it, I seem to deduct that location is not too far from the sulfur mine scenes from Band of Brothers with Grayson, the big Grayson fight that where Duncan almost got killed. Because you can see those if you're across the bay in Vancouver. If you're looking across, you can see those sulfur mines because they're impossible not to see because they're all yellow and everything. So I think we did a pretty darn good job of fixing the zone. I would have loved those, man. I'd like mine. Yours is awesome too, dude.
Yeah. I think we both had a good way to take, the same ingredients and make a better recipe.
Exactly. And you just removed someone and we, made Jesse, Michael Shanks' character immortal, and just kind of changed a few things. We didn't really have to change Charlie too much, except him maybe finding out the secret. We kept the zone the way it was. Mm-hmm. We kept some of the characters. We kept the Watcher part still the same.
Well, and making Charlie a better fighter. That's the other thing I would totally change.
Exactly. Charlie got screwed in this series. This would have made him much more interesting. So anyway, the listeners, let us know what you thought of us. Did you like our suggestions? Would you rather have had that episode of the zone, the fixing version, than what we got? Let us know on Blood of Kings. But I'm gonna have a little fun here, Lee. I'm gonna let you choose which episode we're gonna fix next out of the five lowest rated ones. We just fixed the zone. We have Two of Hearts, immortal Catherine's village is decimated 700 years ago. The orders of another immortal. Now she and her mortal lover are finally in a position to take revenge. We have Bless the Child. While camping in the woods, Duncan and Charlie help a frightened young woman and her baby flee from an abusive father-in-law. We have Deadly Medicine. McCloud is struck and killed by a speeding automobile. When he revives in the hospital, he attracts the attention of a deranged doctor. And we have See No Evil. A friend of Tessa is assaulted and nearly killed by a serial killer who scalps his victims. Duncan believes him to be a copycat killer. I was going to say we could throw in Bad Day in Building A because so many people think that's a really bad episode. So I'm going to throw that in the mix as well. We got terrorists taking over, you know, obviously a courtroom there. So of those, which one do you want to fix next, Lee?
I'm going to say See No Evil because I actually really like that episode.
See No Evil. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. A friend of Tessa's is assaulted and nearly killed. Are you sure you want to go with that one? Because not everyone thinks that's a bad episode.
I do. I can see the bones on how to make that one better.
Just so you know, of the five, it is the best rated one.
Okay. Well, and my other choice, I realized we would have to bring in Mr. Norman C. Lau again. Two of Hearts. Because that stars Claudia Christian, who played Ivanova on Babylon 5.
True.
And I could not talk about Claudia Christian without bringing in Norman C. Lau of the clan C. Lau.
This is true. Well, we have to consider that. So you want to go with See No Evil?
I want to go with See No Evil.
All right. We'll do the Highlander fixing of See No Evil. Looking forward to that one. That's good. Okay, cool. All right, let's close things out here. First of all, this has been a lot of fun, Lee. Thank you for agreeing to do this.
Thanks for the idea. And I wanted to ask earlier when they came up with this idea on Star Trek, The Next Generation, did they just call it a season one rewatch?
No, there was some good ones like Sub Rosa from season 7 and some other ones.
That one was pretty bad. Yeah.
No, it was good. I highly recommend that you go check out Galaxy Class. It has its own feed, check it out. And there's episodes where they go in and check the, and what's so funny though, is that just for comparison, the lowest rated episode that is Two of Hearts was rated at 6.8. All right. On IMDb with 119 reviews, The Zone was 6.9 at 144 reviews. The lowest rated Star Trek episode was like a 3 point something.
Wow.
So Highlander fans are much more forgivable when they are leaving reviews. I just want to put that in perspective.
We don't want to piss off the people that might take a sword and cut somebody's head off.
I know, right? This has been a lot of fun, Lee. Appreciate you, man.
Definitely, brother. Anytime, anytime.
All right, let's get in some contact information as we close things out here. First of all, the Bloody Kings is part of the Fandom Podcast Network, and please subscribe to the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. Join us there. Audio podcasts pop up there, and we also have some live programming as well, exclusive to the YouTube channel. Again, our master feed for all of our podcasts, including Bloody Kings, is fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on all major podcast platforms, which include, of course, Apple Podcast, iTunes. You can find the Bloody Kings podcast in several ways. First of all, we are on Twitter and Instagram. And please make sure you join our Facebook group. We have over 2,400 and rising wonderful Highlander fans on the Bloody Kings, a Highlander fandom group page. And if you played that old Highlander collectible card game, we also have a Facebook group for you guys called Blood of Kings, a Highlander CCG collectible card game and gaming discussion group page. If you would like to contact us directly, you can email us at bloodofkingspodcast@gmail.com. My name is Kevin. I am on Twitter and Instagram @Spartan_Phoenix. Lee, where can we find you on the interwebs?
Well, you can find me standing on a scaffolding in my Color Me Bad suit doing bad beat poetry about how the man has taken stuff from you. Otherwise, you can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram @TheWayOfTheWay.
Awesome. Awesome. You can also support us in a couple of ways. We'd appreciate some reviews on your podcast platforms, which, of course, include Apple Podcast, iTunes. We'd love a 5-star review, of course, but we love feedback in general. And also, too, we've got awesome Bloody Kings logos, our regular Bloody Kings logo. We got, of course, our Iron Pipe logo, and you can put any of those logos on great apparel on our Tee Public store. Just search Fandom Podcast Network or Blood of Kings. Okay, so we don't know if the next episode we're actually recording is going to be a fixing of See No Evil, but make sure you pay attention to Blood of Kings, and we'll be releasing some new episodes shortly. Lee, thanks again, man. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, other than watching The Zone, it was a blast.
That was rough. I'll tell you, yeah. I actually had to watch the darn thing twice to make sure I got it.
Can we just bring up, like, he goes around the corner and the camera just stays there for 10 seconds. Then he just comes back stabbed a little bit. Like, he's barely bleeding. Like, the camera just lingers there. Like, that's like, I love me some Clay Boris, but that was not, that was not a good editing right there.
You know, and I had to go back and watch it twice because of some of the comments that our fans said I didn't quite notice. I'm like, wait a minute. And then, like, when I was coming up with my script change, I'm like, will this work well? And so I had to watch it again for the second time. I can tell you right now, I don't know if I'll ever need to watch The Zone ever again.
Yeah, definitely don't watch this.
Unless it's like a Mystery Science 3000 type setting, you know?
And they kept on changing clothes, but the scenes would be done out of order. So he'd be wearing day one clothes on day three or whatever. And it's like, they should have just kept one wardrobe, maybe made
days. I didn't even notice that because I didn't care.
Yeah. Well, it's only because, like, hey, I like that shirt. I want that. And then he'd, like, changed out of it and then a different one. And then he's back to the original. I'm like, really? Did you just pull that out of the hamper, dude? Like, what's going on here?
Well, thank you guys for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the fixing. And we'll be back with more, of course, with See No Evil next. I'm Kevin. And on behalf of Lee, thanks everyone for listening. And join us again next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network for another episode of Blight of Kings, a Highlander podcast. That sensation you are feeling is the fixing. We fix the zone. We are one. We are immortals. Goodbye, everyone.